Doreen. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doreen St. Felix became a New Yorker staff writer earlier this year. And she's written on subjects ranging from Justin Bieber to gentrification to the racial politics of The Bachelorette. She's been singing the praises of a rapper named Cardi B. And I asked Doreen to come by and tell me about that and a couple of other things she's been into these days.
So, Doreen, I just want to get clued into what you're thinking about and looking at and hearing these days. And I have a premonition that one of the things might be something that you wrote about recently.
Yes. So Cardi B recently became the second female solo rapper in history to hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
Who was first?
Lauryn Hill.
There you go.
And that was in 1998.
So of those two people, I've at least seen one live.
I'm guessing it's Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, that's, you got it. What should we hear from Cardi B?
We should listen to Bodak Yellow.
Bitch, I make bloody moves. Now she say, see, gonna do what or who? Let's find out and see. Cardi B, you know where I'm at. You know where I be. You in the club just to party. I'm there, I get paid a fee. I be in and out them banks so much I know they tired of me.
We can get about 40% of this on the radio.
So Cardi B is from the South Bronx, and she is really interesting because she did not become famous as a musician. She became famous on Instagram and Vine in 2013, early 2014.
Why?
At first, she was just another girl who was making funny videos that people used as memes, as response gifs, that kind of thing. But then she actually started building her own following, and that's because she's just a miracle of streaming. Hmm. Bodak Yellow was supposed to introduce us to Cardi B, right. But it ended up being a blockbuster. It's the music story of the year. I think that a lot of industry people aren't sure of how to integrate streaming into the way that we understand what listeners are into. But Cardi B has shown us that's where the money is, and that's how you create a community of people who are willing to, you know, build your profile in a way that is nearly unprecedented, I'd say. Get what he want, he buy me East Saint Laurent, and the new whip, when it go
fast as a horse, I got the trunk in the front, I'm the hottest. So now we make a rapid transition from Cardi B to what? What else? What's been on?
We should
on
talk
your
about
mind?
Chopped Junior.
Oh, my wife loves this.
Oh, she does.
Oh, my God. Oh, my
so
God.
So maybe you know a little bit about
I
what
give
we'll
her
talk
a slightly
about.
Despairing look when I see her watching it, I have to admit.
So Chopped Junior has the same premise as the original Chopped, which is to say there are three rounds in which four contestants have to make an appetizer, a main, and a dessert from four random ingredients.
No, it's like chili peppers, vanilla ice cream,
exactly.
A hot dog, and something else.
Yeah, and like yeah. Sardines.
Yeah.
But Chopped Junior features contestants as young as nine.
And you must use paneer cheese.
Paneer cheese, what?
It's just so soothing to watch nine-year-olds
screw
sous vide.
Up.
That's the thing, though. They're
Nine-year-olds are sous viding
yes,
things?
Yes, they're phenomenally able. They're not at all scared of using all of these like really fancy right. appliances in the kitchen. And sometimes the food looks good. Not all the time.
What do they make?
Well, there's a really great example of this girl using a lollipop and melting it down with water to make a kind of savory sweet sauce.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna crush up the apple candies and put them in a pan, and I'm adding mint to the dish because it'll add a light herbiness to it. Dulce de leche.
Yes.
So. Lollipop reduction.
Yes, exactly.
Drizzled lollipop reduction. I'm guessing after a long night of watching Chopped, you have other things on your mind. What would be your third pick?
So I was in New Orleans this past weekend, and while I was there, I was walking down this beautiful tree-lined block, and I saw this home, and it had flags on it, and I wondered, like, what is happening? And in front of it, I saw a plaque, and it actually explained that Edgar Degas lived in that home for 5 months between the fall of 1872 and the beginning of 1873.
Wow.
Yeah, so he actually is part American. His mother was a French Creole. Her name was Celestine. And she lived in New Orleans before she moved to France. And Degas did not make much of a splash as an artist in France And then he went to New Orleans, where two of his brothers were living. And he absolutely fell in love with the city. He started calling himself a son of Louisiana. And he has this really famous painting called A Cotton Office in New Orleans, which you can see here. And it actually features his uncle and two of his brothers. That's one of his brothers right there. And
reading a newspaper.
Yeah, he's reading. He's reading the Daily Picayune. And his uncle was very wealthy through the cotton trade. And what's so interesting about this painting is it captures a culture in decline. So these French Creoles, you know, they still spoke French. They didn't really want to think of New Orleans as being an American city at that point. And not long after this, his uncle's business collapsed, and New Orleans ends up becoming the city that we're more familiar with today.
And this is after Emancipation Proclamation.
Exactly.
So it's a political painting,
yes,
as well as a family one. It's an amazing thing. I've never seen it other than reproduced. It's a beautiful picture.
Yeah. And now,
and you just happened upon it walking down the street.
I just happened upon it. I mean, it's a perfect New Orleans story. And it actually is a bed and breakfast now.
Perfect. And you could have had lollipop reduction on your
my Creole omelet.
Exactly. Doreen, thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can find Doreen's writing on, among other things, competitive double Dutch jump roping at newyorkerradio.org.